I was barely 10 years old. I remember the day when my brother got his first ever guitar. And I remember this thing being brought into the house. It was like somebody was driving a new BMW into the house. And everybody took a look at it. And when we had all admired it, my brother put it back in its cover. And so that the cover may not get ruined, he put another bed cover around it, you know, and he kept it very carefully in the closet. And just like God said to Adam and Eve never to touch of the tree in the middle of the garden, I was given very strict instructions. Don't you touch my guitar. And my parents said, that's his, okay? You don't touch that. Next day, parents went to work. My brother went out with his friends. And little Mr. Inquisitive wanted to take a shot at being Eric Clapton. So I slowly, very carefully, go to the closet, take a look at it. I so was itching to take it out and, you know, play. And so, you know, kept looking out of the window, is anybody coming? And then I took this guitar out, I unwrapped it, looked at the door if anyone is coming. To my misfortune, I barely took it out of the cover and one of the strings snapped. You can imagine my horror. I never knew a guitar string could be just replaced. I thought this guitar is ruined forever. So trembling hands, I wrap it back again exactly as it would be, and I put it in the closet. In my home, the picture of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and Mary is very prominently displayed. Every Indian home has this, a huge holy place that we all gather around to pray. And so this is what I did. I would go on my knees and I would pray, Jesus, please make that guitar okay. You know, let the strings be attached back on the guitar. And I would pray, and then I would go and look into this closet and see, is it okay? Well, it's not okay. And I would come back and pray again, dear Lord, please set that guitar. I did that about 10 times. In the end, I gave up because the guitar was still broken. Everybody came back home that evening, and you would have thought hell broke loose in my house. I never admitted to it till about a couple of years back at a homily that I preached. I used the same story. That's the first time when mom and dad came to know that I'd actually touched the guitar. And I'm 44 years old. Yeah. Now, when I think about that incident, I'm still hurt. If God wanted, he could have made that guitar okay. Call it heal the guitar. If God wanted, God could have done that. Why didn't God listen to the prayer of an innocent little boy? Why could he not mend the guitar? Keep the story at the back of your mind. And for a moment, let me turn your attention to today's readings. What are today's readings meant to communicate to us? Confidence in God. Look at the way Abraham negotiates what he wants with God. Lord, if there are 50 people, well, there aren't 50 people. What if there are 40 people, 30 people, 20? God heard Abraham's prayer. It's because there were not even 5 people that city was destroyed. But the point is, if there were 5 people, Abraham would have got what he wanted. Scriptures are telling us that that's the kind of God, that's the kind of confidence we need to have in God. This is further reinforced as you listen to today's gospel reading. Ask and you will receive. I asked with all my heart. I asked. I did not receive. Jesus says, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. So on the one hand, we have a God who tells us to ask with confidence. On the other hand, it is not uncommon for us to find many of our prayers unanswered. What stopped God from mending my guitar? What stopped God from healing my aunt who died of cancer when we prayed so hard? What prevents God from stopping an accident that takes away the father of two little children? What stops God from giving employment to a friend of mine? 1 year and 3 months have passed. I'm sure each one of us has similar experiences. And in some way, today's homily, I want to address this predicament that we have. That on the one hand, God says, listen, ask. On the other hand, our experience is that of not receiving what we want from God. Let me do this in 3 points. First of all, how do we understand prayer? Jesus teaches his disciples to pray. Now, it's not uncommon for many people to understand by the word prayer, to understand prayer as intercessory prayer. Prayer as talking to God, letting God know what I want. But today, the scriptures are telling us, do not ignore another dimension of prayer, which is the relationship that Abraham and Jesus share with God before they make their petitions known. In other words, intercessory prayer and asking God for help is only one dimension of the prayer. And we have to understand our intercession in the context of the larger relationship of prayer. So, take Abraham's conversation with God. Have you read that and not felt like laughing? It's comical the way Abraham negotiates the case of Sodom and Gomorrah. His boldness, his craftiness, his negotiation with God, his reminding God how God should act. Abraham is telling God how God should be, right? All of this points to a very deep, intimate, trusting relationship with God. And Jesus captures that in one word in today's gospel reading. Father. Before Jesus teaches his disciples anything about prayer, the very first word that Jesus teaches his disciples about prayer is Father. In other words, prayer is first and foremost about a relationship. God as Father and Mother. And if we want to find out whether we are prayerful people, the question we ask ourselves is, what is my relationship with God? How intimate, how deep, how powerful, how trusting? That is the key to knowing if we are prayerful people. And our intercession to God must be in the context of this relationship. In other words, I can't come to God cold and make my needs present to God. If I don't have a deep relationship with God, right now I cannot come and say to God, God, heal me. What is my relationship with God? That's the first and foremost aspect of prayer. Secondly, I'm totally intrigued by God by Abraham and in the manner that he negotiates with God. So I want to talk about intercessory prayer anyway. Many times, people tell us, if you want to bring your needs before God, it's got to be according to God's will. So, it's okay for me to pray for daily bread, but if I had to ask God, please give me a new Jaguar, even when I have a decent car, you know that God is not going to answer your prayer. Why? Because it's not legitimate. Well, I'm the kind of guy who believes, bring all your needs before God, even the most crazy ones. Yeah, go ahead. Pray for a Jag if you want that. Pray for it. After all, to who else can we bring our crazy needs? Who else but God? Don't children bring their crazy needs to us? It's okay. I'm the kind of guy who believes, pray for a Jag. Pray that you do not get caught even if your income that you mention in income tax is wrong. Pray that you do not get caught. Bring your genuine needs also before God, that you may conceive a child, or that you may miraculously be healed of cancer, or that you may find employment or get a promotion, or that you may inherit your father's estate, or that you may not rain, it may not rain at your wedding, or that the USA may win the World Cup. Bring all your needs before God. But the other part of the deal is, if you are going to be crazy in bringing your needs before God, please also allow God to answer those prayers in His time, in His need, in His wisdom. So the fact is, we may not get the Jag. All right, but my relationship with God is such that I'm crazy enough to pray for the craziest thing. But be prepared that we are answered in God's time, in God's space, in God's wisdom. So it's like a deal or no deal situation. Third, we must recognize often that sometimes we are the answer to people's prayers. Sodom and Gomorrah needed somebody like Abraham to pray on their behalf for survival. Even as we pray for our needs, we should know that someone in the world is praying for their needs and we are the answer to their prayers. Let's think about Haiti for a moment. 6 months after the devastating earthquake, Haiti is as desperate now as it was when the earthquake hit them. 6 months later, people are still dying, people are still hopeless. Someone out there is praying for bread. Someone out there is praying for food, for medicine, for shelter, for hope. Did any of us decide that we will set a meal aside once a month and make sure that that goes to Haiti? And please don't say, I've already done my part. I gave $20 when the earthquake hit, or I gave $1,000. People are still praying now, and someone needs to answer their prayers now. We must recognize that people all over the world are praying for their needs like we pray for our needs, and somewhere out there, we are the answer to their prayers. It is up to us to become the answer to someone's prayer every month, every week, every day. God needs us to answer the prayers of the world. My dear friends, we are here at this Eucharist, and in one sense, this is the greatest of all prayers. Not because we pray, because Jesus prays. This is the Jesus who taught us how to pray. And on this altar, Jesus offers the sacrifice on our behalf. This is not for Jesus. This is for us. So as we receive the fruits of this Eucharist into our lives, let us pray that we will not just pray, that we will become prayer. By our relationship with God, and by becoming the answer to other people's prayers. Let us pray like Abraham. Let us learn to pray like Jesus. Let us become prayer. The people of God said,